Every Sunday morning, I've got the theme, the Smokey and the Bandit, playing in my head. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. That's what I think every time when I'm walking this way. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Of course, we welcome those joining us on Facebook. I'm still kind of looking for a new wireless mic that's going to work for this iPad. I don't know that people at home are getting great sound, but still on the hunt. May have to invest a little bit more than the cheap ones that I've been getting. Anyway, great to see everyone here this morning. Talk a little bit about people watching. If maybe you like to watch people, I always think that's a pretty fun thing to do. I try not to do it in a creepy way. That should note that. Don't watch people in a weird way, but I like to go to a public place and just plant myself and watch people. You can tell a lot about a person by the way they walk. You see somebody walking fast, and you know they're kind of a business-oriented, they're in mission mode, they are on task. You might see somebody that's just sort of moseying their way down the hallway. That's the kind of person that the first person doesn't want to get behind, right? The fast-walking people don't like to get behind people that are just kind of moseying around. And then you see the people that are distracted. That's probably the more common thing. Cell phones are out, and people are looking down, looking at that. Maybe they're just deep in thought, and they don't see. A few years ago, when I got to go on the Star Wars cruise in the atrium, they had these benches that were about 5 inches shorter than your knee. So they were about halfway to your shin, and it was amazing to watch how many people would just trip over those things time and time again. I was one of those people. But you could just sit there and watch people fall all afternoon long, and it was a lot of fun. You can Google the things about learning about how people walk, and you'll see that scientists have done studies about the people's walk, and you can tell personality types, or there are personality type indicators or mood indicators by the type of walk someone has. Kind of a fun internet wormhole to go down if you're looking for something to search. But I think the big takeaway from me is some people, of course, have long legs and long strides, and some people with their shoulders back and their head up, they have a proud walk. I've been accused of having a proud walk, and that might have been true at one time, but now I would say it's probably more of a confidence thing. If you see me walk into the room and I don't pay any attention and I go to point A to point B, it's probably because now I don't know that I feel like I have anything to add to a conversation. So it's not necessarily that, but it can be confused with being proud and arrogant. And a lot of studies have shown that whenever you walk slouched or like that it can hurt your body. It certainly hurts your mood. And so one of the best things they say that you can do is to sit up straight. Sort of like maybe your parents told you, like mine did, sit up straight, walk right, like you're supposed to do, right? It's a simple thing that can change our attitudes, that kind of gets you think even more about this scripture that we've been wearing out this month. We've been focusing on this challenge from Micah 6:8. And the challenge, I think, is pretty deep, and it's pretty strong for such a short verse. But one of the pieces of this challenge is how we walk. And so as Will read earlier, Micah says in Micah 6, verse 8, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." So the challenge that we've been talking about, we're finally finishing up this morning, is to act justly, to love kindness or mercy, and to walk humbly with your God, and then to repeat that every single day. And it's called a challenge because we live in a world that doesn't really value these three things. And so part of the reason of that is because these three things all focus our attention on someone else rather than myself. And so every one of these, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God, puts attention on the people in our world. And we don't really like that sometimes, right? We like to focus on ourselves. That's really easy. And it's hard for us sometimes to focus on someone else. I think one of the most popular religions in our world today is me worship, right? I worship myself. It's a pretty popular religion. You find it all across the globe. You can even find it inside churches. But worship, me worship, really affects our whole life. In some ways, it affects how we vote. We vote for the candidate that we think promises to do the most for who? For me, right? Well, what I like, well, what I want, my values, I'm going to vote for that. My worship or me worship affects how I budget my money. I make sure that there's enough money for me, maybe my family, but me worship says I make sure that there's enough for me. Me worship affects our relationships, how I value a relationship. Before I commit to getting into a relationship with someone, whatever that relationship might be, I want to make sure, is it worth it for me? And we all have that thought, I think, when it comes to relationships, because all of us sort of have that trigger in our mind that says, is this worth it? Is this relationship worth my time? Worth my effort? Worth me, right? And the thing is, me worship can even come inside churches. The number one indicator for people choosing a church is, what can this church do for me? Now it should be, what can I do and how can I get involved to serve this church for others? But that's not really the case, and we know that, because when people are looking or leaving a church, what they often have are a lot of reasons. And sometimes the reasons are me-centric. I'm just not being fed there. The preacher tells too many jokes. He does this or that or the other. The songs are too slow. The songs are too fast. They're too old. They're too new. And you're kind of starting to sound like Dr. Seuss. But all of these things are, I don't like this. This is not what I came to worship for. But it isn't about me or really us. And if it has to be about us, then none of us are ever going to be happy. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to do our best to focus on worshiping God. But that doesn't mean we don't have our preferences. That doesn't mean that we don't have our struggles too with me worship. It just means that we are striving not to let me worship, that is so ingrained within us, control how we actually approach God. And I think that's why this challenge is so important for me, at least, is because it takes it out of me and it puts it to God. Every piece of this is because God has told you, O man, what is good. And so this last part, Micah says, walk humbly with your God, to change the way you walk, because in Micah's time, he dealt with a whole bunch of me worship. This was not something new. He dealt with it a whole bunch. In fact, in chapter 2, verse 3, it says that, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster. Against Israel I am devising disaster, from which you cannot remove your necks, and you shall not walk haughtily, for it will be a time of disaster. What God says here is, underneath your lack of mercy, underneath your lack of judgment, underneath those things, you have an abundance of me worship, and you need to stop it. Because whenever we only worship ourselves, our wants and our desires, we become proud. And God has a thing or two against the proud. It's all over Scripture. God opposes the proud. Again, you've been accused of having a proud walk, maybe, and rightfully so. But if I ever use that walk against God, do you know what happens? God opposes me. And I don't know how good you are with battle scenarios or how this might work out, but in this scenario, God wins every single time. I don't stand a chance against God. And that right there should be humbling in and of itself. And so God says you need to change the way you walk because you're walking too proud, and God opposes that. In Isaiah 66, it says, all these things my hand has made, And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. James puts the ideas together and says in James 4 verse 6 that as scriptures say, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Well, we need to change the way we walk because how we often walk leads us to the wrong places. And again, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So what does that mean to walk humbly with God? What is Micah saying whenever he gives this last bit of the challenge to walk humbly with God? I think part of the walking humbly with God means that we go where God wants to take us. God isn't just pointing out a direction and saying, hey, this is where you need to go. Here's the straight and narrow. Stay in this lane and you're going to be good. God doesn't just sort of wind us up and point us in the right direction and say, just keep going that way. Maybe here's another way of that understanding. God isn't planning or expecting to simply meet us at some predetermined point in time. He's not at the end of the journey waiting on us saying like, come on, I know you can do it. Like whenever we're teaching our kids how to walk, we back away from them and we encourage them, right? Keep coming to me. Some people have that image of God in their mind, that God is there in heaven and he's saying, here's the straight and narrow. Now come on, you can do it. But that's not the picture that scripture gives. God's not at the beginning of the journey winding us up and sending us on our way. And he's not just at the end of the journey waiting for us to finally make it. He's with us every step of the way. And again, that there should give us some peace for the walk that we have in our life. Because again, if we're honest, there are some steps that we have to make in this world that are not easy, right? And if God is not with us, it makes those steps all the harder. But God wants to be with us every step of the way. He doesn't just want to meet us there. He wants to walk with us. You know, walking, it used to be a lifestyle. At one time, it's where you got anywhere you wanted to go. What was by walking. That's still how a lot of the world does things even today. Most of us try to avoid walking as much as possible. I'm probably going to drive to the other building to eat this afternoon and then drive back at 2. We live in a spoiled culture, right? And if someone parks in our spot that's a little bit closer where we wanted, sometimes we kind of get aggravated at that person, right? Especially if we think we deserve that parking spot a little bit more than they did. Because it's not about them, is it? It's about me. And then you get problems that arise. But this idea, that this lifestyle idea, it affects so much of our walk. Especially, I think, when we understand that we view our world pretty compartmentalized, right? And what I mean by that is we've got a home life, and we've got a work life, and we've got a hobby life, and somewhere in there we have a spiritual life. And it's all sort of in its own box. I do my work stuff at work. I do my home stuff at home. I do my hobby stuff when I'm doing my hobby stuff. And I do my spiritual stuff maybe on Sunday mornings, right? Then I'll pick up my walk with God. But again, God doesn't want to just walk with us on part of our journey. He's not content to say, hey, Mike, it's Sunday morning. Let's pick up where we left off with our stride. God wants to walk with us every single day through all the aspects of our lives, whether that's at work or home or hobby or spiritual part of the walk, part of everything that we do. But here's the mistake, I think, that we sometimes make. What we often say is, hey, God, do you want to come on my journey? Do you want to join me at my job? Do you want to join me at my home? Come with me at my hobbies. And there in my spiritual block, I'll set that aside for you as well. And that sort of sounds good and spiritual of us to say, God, I'm going to take you to work with me. And that is good and fine. But again, it's really not our path, right? It's God's path that we're walking on. God owns the path. It's his walk that we're invited to join him with. And so while it may be your work, make no mistake, it's God's world. And so whenever you go to work in God's world, it's also his work too. It's still his home. It's still his hobbies, even if you get to be involved with it. It's not simply saying, hey, God, I'm going to work today. Do you want to come join me on the walk? It's more than that. It's that you wake up every morning and you say, God, I know you're going somewhere. Can I join you? Wherever you're going today, God, because I can't wait to walk with you wherever you're going. Let's walk together wherever you're heading, Lord, because I want to be where you are. Walking humbly with God means God is going to take you to places, and sometimes where he takes you, you may not want to go. But when you humble yourself enough to trust God, you will go regardless. Paul talks about it this way in Philippians 2. Verse 3, he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What Paul is saying here is Jesus humbled himself to walk into the place that no one else wanted to go. He knew God's plan. This is the journey. No one wants to go there. Jesus says, if that's where God is, I'm there. Let's go. This is the purpose. He walked into the place that we would all have a hard time walking. But when you walk with God, I'm not going to say it makes it easier, but it does make it right. No matter where the walk takes us, when we walk with God, when we walk with his purpose, where he's going in his direction, not like maybe a lot of us do driving. If you're used to driving behind the wheel and then for some odd reason you find yourself in the passenger seat or even worse, you're in the back seat. But you still want to give directions, right? And you still want to hit that brake that's on the floorboard that isn't even there in the back seat, right? You remember teaching your kids how to drive? You want to be in control so bad. We're sort of like that with our spiritual lives too. We're sort of like, yeah, God, I think you missed the turn. Aren't we going this way? I can sort of imagine God over there talking to folks like people have with me before on a road trip, saying, Mike, you can either stay at this gas station or you can shut your mouth. That's the options I've been given before. I don't think that God would say that to me. Missy hasn't said that to me yet either. But I wonder if God wants to say that sometimes. Are you really in this with me for real? Or do you want to take the wheel because you think you can do it better? Because God will give us the wheel, right? But whenever we take the wheel, God exits the car because it's his path and not ours. So that's the first thing, I think. Walking humbly means that I might be going into places that I may not want to go, but God's going to take me there. I think the second idea of walking humbly means being fine with not being noticed. And I want those of you that know me know that this is a hard one. Maybe you've taken one of those Myers-Briggs personality tests where it combines several things with questions of what you should do with your life. Mine said that I should go into acting, clowning, or the clergy. And so I combined them all, right? All three of those things, what they have in common are the lights are on, right? And so this is hard, especially when you're a ham. You guys have all seen the Grouchy Rooster. And that's sort of the tip of the iceberg. But it's something that I work on. And it doesn't mean that I'm doing great, but here's the thing. We all like to be liked. We all want to be noticed, at least in certain areas. We all have our certain areas that we want to be noticed. But if we look at Philippians 2 again from the New Living Translation, and Paul says this, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And so putting this back to the Micah challenge, to act justly, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God, are you, am I, less willing to act justly and love mercy if no one else is ever going to know that I've done that? We all know when the peer pressure comes, when the crowd is there and someone needs to step up and act justly or love mercy, everybody knows when that happens, that person gets praised, right? We're like, oh man, I'm so proud for you for stepping up and doing that. But let's be honest. Those of us that know every time that we get praised when we do something like that, we're already sort of bent for seeking other people's praise. We may step in and act justly in a situation, and we are anything but, right? We are playing to the crowd. Are you less likely to act justly and love mercy when no one else is around? No one else will notice. No one will give you that pat on the back. And that attaboy, and if that's the case, then there's a problem, right? To walk humbly with God is to walk in such a way that God looks good, not me. That doesn't mean we can't look good in the process. Don't necessarily hear that. But I mean, if I'm outshining God, that's a problem. There's a story from the 18th century that a minister from Germany tells. His name is John Frederick Oberlin, and he was out one day and a snowstorm hit, and it was sort of a freak snowstorm, but he was lost in it, and he had become pretty sure that he was going to freeze to death. But he doesn't. Along comes a guy who has a cart with him, and he sees Oberlin, and he puts him in his cart, and he takes him into town, into his house, and he gets him warmed up and fed and all the things you would do. And just as Oberlin is about to go back on his journey home, he wants to thank the man for his hospitality and his generous gift, and he realizes he doesn't even know the man's name. And so he asks the man his name, and the man thinks for a second, and he says, I know you're a minister, but would you first tell me the name of the Good Samaritan? And Oberlin said, I can't do that. Scripture is silent to his name, which the man said, then please permit me not to give you mine either. Have you ever thought of the Good Samaritan in that way? That may be the most well-known story Jesus ever told. So many people know this story, but we don't even know the name of the hero. And I think Jesus told it that way on purpose because it wasn't about the hero. It was about God and what God does through normal, everyday people like you and me. When we seek to have our name in the lights, we turn the focus and attention on us and away from God. We're doing the opposite of that. So to walk humbly with God means being fine with not being noticed. I may not be noticed, but make no mistake. When we walk humbly with God, God does get the glory. People notice whenever we are willing to walk humbly with God. What people notice is not me, right? You know, you're such a humble person. I think if that's being said, I'm messing up somewhere because that focus is still on me. What I want is whenever somebody is there, they see God. They see God fully. And if they miss, if they say, was Mike even there? I need to be okay with that. I'm not yet, right? I'm not there yet. That's my confession. I'm working toward that. But I know the plan that I would rather people go, God really showed up in that sermon today. Who preached it? That's the goal. It doesn't matter who preached it. God showed up. I'm not asking for anybody to help me with my humility later, right? But don't do that. The last point I think I want to make is for us to understand that walking humbly with God, it does mean doing the next good thing for someone else. When we walk humbly with God, we begin to notice what God notices. We begin to see what He sees, and all throughout Scripture, it is consistent. What God sees are people that need to be noticed. The more we walk with God, the more that we realize these walks are not random. Whenever we say, all right, God, where are you going today? And we begin to walk humbly with Him, we begin to realize this is no walk in the park, right? We sang that song, "And He Walks With Me," and we're like, we don't know where we're going, but walking with God, you begin to realize that these walks are very purposeful, because God, what God ends up doing is, as you're walking along, he says, "Do you see that person over there?" And all of a sudden you realize God is walking you to the next mission. When you walk humbly with God, he's saying, "I'm going to see people, and you need to see people too. And when you see them like the Good Samaritan sees them, you need to be helping them. You need to be there for them, because that's the reason we're walking together." Paul in Galatians 6 would say, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith." Some people view this word opportunity as, well, if I get time for it. That's not what Paul is saying here. He's not saying whenever you get a chance, whenever you find an opportune time. What he's saying is when you see them, that's your opportunity. Whenever they become available within my walk with God, that's my opportunity. So whenever I see that opportunity, I need to do good. Because every day God is seeking those who need some good in their lives, and he loves to use his people to let his name shine. Now you may be thinking, I don't see those opportunities. They are not prevalent for me. I would say maybe you need to check how humbly you are walking with God. Because if you are not walking humbly with God, you're not going to see opportunities. You will miss 100% of them. If you don't see the opportunities, though, that's not on God, right? We need to open our eyes and walk with God. And when we walk with God, you can't help but notice them. Those opportunities are everywhere. And so if you're not seeing them, I would check your walk with God. But this principle, again, is not for our pride. It's not for us to come here and say, "Oh, I seen somebody on the side of the road this week, and I helped them," because you know what starts happening next. It becomes more about, well, what I did. And now I'm not walking humbly with God anymore, and God's not getting the glory. God wants to shine through. Jesus would say, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works," and here's the real important part, "and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." This is what humility looks like. It's not doing all of our good deeds under a bush. Oh no, right? Nobody caught the "this little light of mine" joke there. But it's not doing all of our good deeds in the background. In fact, there's sometimes when we need to do our good deeds front and center for everybody to see. But our point is not for them to see us. Our point is so that they can see God through us. We literally become the glass that they're looking through to see God. They can see light coming through us. Walking humbly with God is doing what God desires, no matter who is around or not around. We're going to do what God desires regardless. Again, walking humbly with God is not about us or you or what we do. Rather, it's about what God does through us and his name. We read in the book of Revelation, God's name is going to be praised. That there's no doubt about that that's going to happen. The question is it going to be because of you or in spite of you? And the "in spite of you" is a proud understanding. The "because of you" is a humble understanding, because the "because of you" means that I am getting out of the light so that God can shine even brighter. I'm stepping back from all the glory so that God gets it all. Walking humbly with God is a difficult life path. But it is one on the other side that you want to be involved with, because God opposes the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And the thing is, it's never too late for us to be a little bit more humble. We can change the way we walk. And so maybe that's one way to respond to this challenge. Maybe you need to try a different kind of walk. Maybe you've never considered that the reason maybe you've never came forward on one of these sermons. You've said to me, and many times I've been told, you've been convicted in the heart, and you said, Mike, I almost walked forward this morning. And you know the question that I ask. What kept you from doing it, right? Because if you almost did it, something stopped you. Maybe you've never considered it's your own pride that's stopping you. And God opposes the proud. So maybe you think, this is not for me. People might think something. People might conclude a certain thing. Guess what? People do that anyway. So we may as well do it in the right vein and know and conclude for the glory of God. And so maybe this morning you need to change the way you walk and walk forward this morning so that you can get right with God. And I'm not saying that you got to walk forward to get right with God, but whatever that means for you, would you be willing to take that walk every day? Maybe today is that day. If you need to have that walk with God cemented and clear and moving in the right direction, we want to help be a part of that. Jesus would say, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Peter would say on Pentecost that it would be for the remission of sins. God's promises, the promises of God belong to him and to those who belong to him. The elders and the deacons, Casey, myself, we want to help in any way to talk about your walk or all walk together for that matter, whatever your need may be. Please come as together we stand and we sing.